Doesn't that computer know who you
are? Don't they have any idea?
Bow down to the Tech Talk host.
That's right, that's right, that's right.
Behold the glory that is here.
A little while ago, I was installing some software, and I ran across this exact same
thing. I find you pompous, judgmental, and completely self-absorbed. Would you be my friend?
Onto a Windows Vista machine.
You would think.
You'd think there'd be no problem.
How could there be a problem with that?
I'd say in a given week, I probably only do about 15 minutes of real, actual work.
Directory permissions with config.msi directory, blah, 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 blah. This is Tech Talk. Good morning. This is Tech Talk. I hope everybody had a great Thanksgiving this last week. This is the post-Thanksgiving show, Saturday morning, the week after Thanksgiving. Man, you know, I had an absolutely outstanding Thanksgiving. So that's why, it's particularly why I'm hoping that everybody had a good Thanksgiving so that it could match mine. Thanks to the internet, I gotta say. Once again this year, we just nailed the turkey cooking, and that was all thanks to doing a little bit of research on the internet and coming up with some good healthy and well worked out turkey recipes, and we did a good job. We've got a lot of things going on this week. Of course, yesterday was Black Friday, and it was even blacker than usual with some of the activities of people out there. We'll talk about that in just a minute. And then we've got Cyber Monday coming up on Monday, and I'll talk a little bit about some of the online tips that you can use to make sure that you're getting the best deals and also, too, not getting yourself into trouble trying to shop online. And then we're going to have Jay Geek Trivia Garmin, Encyclopedia Garmonica. That was the nickname we've got for him lately. He's going to be on. He's going to be talking to us. Hopefully we'll be able to get him. He's actually out and about and doing what we should all be doing, which is enjoying this vacation with our family. But he's agreed to come on and share some of his wit and intelligence and knowledge with us, and so that'll be good. And then we've got near the end of the show, of course. What would a show be without Cool Sites of the Week and a podcast-only song of the week, hopefully one that you haven't heard yet before. So let's dive into it. Man, well, you know, like I said, turkey. This is the week for turkey. Hey, you know what? In fact, I'm going to take us on a totally I'm so excited about how good our turkey was. It was just phenomenal this year. And I've been in charge of cooking the turkey now for probably 3 or 4 years, I guess it is. The main turkey makers in our family have either not wanted to do it anymore or sadly been unable to. So I took over the responsibility, and the first year it was absolutely horrible. It was just about the worst you can imagine for a turkey. Breast completely dry, legs somewhat undercooked. You know, everything that you could imagine going bad with a turkey went bad. So after that, I started watching Alton Brown and some of the other guys and picked up some tips. I'm going to tell you just a couple of quick tips. Here are the things that we did that make our turkey just absolutely perfect every year. The number one tip, and you're going to find this too if you go on the internet. This is our cool site here already. If you go on the internet, I'm not even going to give you a specific site. Just Google perfect turkey or something along those lines. And trust me, you're going to find some really good tips on it. But the tips that have worked well for me is, number one, brine your turkey. Always put it in a salt bath at least one day prior to cooking. Rinse it, of course, when you're done. Secondly, got to protect the breast. Always important, protect the breast. If Dave was here, he'd be making some rude comments at this moment, but he's not, so I can get past this. Alton Brown actually recommends putting tinfoil over the breast while you're cooking. I disagree. I like it better. You flip it halfway through. Flip the bird halfway through. I started out breast down, and then after about 45 minutes at 425, I flip it right over, crank the temp down to 325, and let it finish up. And the third most important tip other than brining, use a meat thermometer. Stick that baby in there and make sure that your breast does not get over 160. And in fact, I usually take it out about 150, 155. So there's my 5-minute Cooking with Michael on the Tech Talk show. You know, if you if you've got tips for me on how to make my turkey even more spectacular next year, I would love to hear them. Send them to techtalk@wrlr.fm or go to facebook.com/techtalkwrlr and I'll look for it there. You can also, too, I should mention that Facebook page. You can actually listen to us live right on Facebook. If you go to facebook.com/techtalkwrlr, look for the WRLR live tab on the side. You can listen not only to Tech Talk, but you can listen to any of the other fantastic and fabulous shows which are available here on WRLR every single week, coming to your ears free, no money down. We'll give you a full refund if you don't like it, but I don't know who you talk to for that. And so check that out. We also, too, of course, as I said, we're going to be talking to Jay Geek Trivia Garmin in just a few minutes. And every week I put up the Geek Trivia question for the week, so you can take your best stab at it right there. Love to hear from you either way. Well, like I said, you know, this last week was Thanksgiving. We did the turkey breakdown. I did that for you. But how many out there went shopping Friday morning, went and did the whole Black Friday thing? Now, I noticed this year everything started up a lot earlier. In fact, the stores were opening at midnight. I had friends I was talking to who said, yeah, I'm just not going to bed. I'm staying up. We'll be up at about 11:30 and we'll drive out there and no camping out. We'll just go and do it. Now, of course, you've probably, if you've been paying attention to any of this, you've probably already heard about, yet again, just like last year, Walmart is in the news with huge, huge disasters. There's not only a physical issue, but then also their website too. Now, the physical issue you've doubtless heard about. There was a store where a competitive shopper is the way that I've heard it described. This is in Porter Ranch section of Los Angeles. A young lady got into the store and they were battling and fighting over video game cartridges and video game boxes, specifically the Xbox and the Wii, and somebody just got a little out of hand. She felt that she needed an edge, I think, to really make a difference there on grabbing that whatever that item was that she wanted, I think the Xbox console, and sprayed a little bit of weapons-grade capsaicin around. Not good for anybody. And there was a lot of bad stuff going on in that store. Apparently, they did maintain their doors open and continued selling items even after this happened. Shortly thereafter, but not cool, guys. Let's not go there. I just don't think there's games that are that important, really. You know, I mean, is it going to make that much of a difference, the $15 you save? I don't know. Apparently to her, it did. So enough said on that. I think what is as interesting, or if not anything more interesting, though, was Walmart also, of course, had a huge, huge push to get people to purchase things online this year, not only with the their main website, but also mobile purchasing and all this other stuff. And what happened, of course, on the same time as the Black Friday stuff, is that Walmart's website just went belly up. Now, it didn't completely trash, which is part of the problem. What happened was that people started noticing issues when they were going through trying to purchase the items that they'd put into their shopping cart. When they would get to the area to pay for it, all of a sudden the shopping cart would be empty. They would be asked to log in repeatedly, even after they had already logged in several times. They would, not only that, but what was, of course, adding to this frustration was that you would go through, you'd get your shopping cart all set, you'd go to pay, the shopping cart's empty. Gosh darn it, so now you got to go back and start over again. Well, you go back and you go and you start over again, and you get through, and you get to the point where now you're ready to pay again, and it says, I'm sorry, but those items are now out of stock because somebody else beat you to it. Oh, man, imagine the frustration there. So that apparently was happening quite a lot over the first several hours. And also, too, of course, people were having to stay up later than they had expected because Walmart, although they had advertised midnight start to the Friday deals, that was what was happening at the physical stores, the places where you would bring your pepper spray in order to get the best deals. But at the online stores and locations, the actual online start time for Black Friday deals was 3 a.m. So think of that too. You've finished your turkey. You've had that after dinner postprandial aperitif and a little bit of dessert, and you're ready to do your shopping now. And it's midnight, and all of a sudden you find that somehow, some way, you've got to convince your body to stay up for another 3 hours or set that alarm for 3 a.m. Not a lot of fun, and then it falls apart, of course. Now, the big thing that everyone's wondering is, will it be available and ready and working come Cyber Monday? And that's only in 2 days away here. Now, of course, I'm sure they're working overtime trying to put this thing together. I would believe that a lot of people are going to be trying some alternatives, such as Amazon and some of the other places that you can go online to get good deals. One thing that I find, just to cap this story off here, too, is that what has contributed possibly to this issue is that Walmart recently laid off their VP of engineering, a guy named Gene Wojciechowski. And he apparently, now I hadn't heard of him before this story came out, but apparently he was extremely well respected by the engineering staff and by the people at Walmart who worked for and with him. But for whatever reason, Walmart had decided to lay off some of their upper management. And so again, the VP of engineering is gone, and all of a sudden, Black Friday traffic surge is not able to be handled by the web servers and by the people there. Makes you wonder about some of those decisions that the company is making. So, Gene's got to be feeling just a little bit of Schadenfreude right now and thinking, hey, you know, them's the breaks, buddy. It's one of those days when I'm just happy as a clam that I'm not doing IT management anymore. When you think about having to deal with the problems like that and a lot of real stressful nights that some people are going through. Now, the flip side of all of that bad news about online shopping and people getting a little crazy and so on is that the Thanksgiving Day online holiday sales and all that by recent estimates here are up nearly 40% from last year. So this is a big deal. This is looking like a real profitable holiday season for retailers right now, and definitely something that we need to see. Thanksgiving 2010 was one of the lowest times for online retailers and one of the lowest times in general in the last many years for holiday shopping. But this year seems to have pointed to a really big recovery, at least in mobile and online shopping. And I love the phrase. Now, I'm picking this up off of TechCrunch is where I'm getting a lot of these numbers. And I love the phrase that they've got. They call this couch commerce. And they're saying that couch commerce is going to be huge this year. Basically, what they're saying is that you guys are going to be using your tablets. You're going to be using your mobile phone. You're going to be using your laptops and not even necessarily going and using your office computers. So big, big stuff. And that's good to see. Like I said, it's good for everybody. Good for everybody. Now mobile sales and mobile computing, mobile purchasing and so on is starting to take off a bit. I don't know if you have started using yourself some of the mobile apps that allow for easier shopping, but I know I love it. Amazon's got an app that'll allow you to actually scan a barcode or even take a picture of an item, and it will tell you excuse me, it will tell you how much that item costs on their website, which is makes for instant comparison shopping. Google also has one. They call it Google Goggles. And you can take a picture, again, and it will automatically try to resolve that picture into an item which can be purchased. And you can take a quick look online and see what other retailers are selling that for. But another type of things that's happening is, finally, online coupons are starting to make their way around and be accepted and acceptable and have some penetration into the market. I'm looking on my phone right now. I personally, one that I use, this is crazy. It's probably just a local thing, but it's the money mailer. I don't know if you get a money mailer in your mailbox each week. I do, and I hate it. I absolutely hate it. It comes in an envelope. It's not the ones that are the fold-out ads and all the other business. No, it comes in an envelope just jammed packed to the gills full of coupons, and you know 80% of them are for these HVAC guys, and then there's like 15% of them are for roofers, and then finally there's like another, you know, there's 5% that are actually ones that I care about at this point in my life and want to use. But what you can do now is you can download the Money Mailer app on your phone, and it will tell you what the most recent current money mailer apps are by category, the coupons and so on, and then you can use that phone app to show the retailer, look, I've got your coupon, I want to make use of it and get my, you know, 15% off at Chili's today or whatever the case may be. The biggest downfall of the app, I think it's a good app, I like it, and it does sort by location. So it tries to give you the deals that are closest to you by the categories. The one thing you can't do, which irritates me to no end, is you can't search. You can't type, if you're at Chili's, you can't type in Chili's and find out if there's an app or a coupon there. So that's somewhat irritating. But other than that, it is a good app. Another one that's coming out right now, and I believe is only available on iPhone, which, you know, lets me out because I am not an iPhone kind of guy, is Walgreens. Walgreens has got an app out as well, again, with coupons. Now, Walgreens has had an mobile app for some time, but they've just recently added this coupons feature, and it does exactly what you would expect it to, is you go in and you can find if they have coupons anywhere from 50 cents to $5 off on various products that they have, diapers, you know, suntan lotion, whatever it is that you might be looking for. And of course, the cool thing with this is it works at all Walgreens across the country, which there's huge numbers of them. You know, Walgreens too is they're a local company. They're Deerfield, Illinois. So it's kind of cool to support them as well. So good stuff. I think there's going to be a lot of changes coming in this coming year for mobile buying options. You know, we've started to see some of these things come around the curve. American Express is in the mix. Visa and Discover supposedly have something bubbling. PayPal is pushing. They're pushing very hard to get the mobile app purchasing capabilities reasonable and happening. I think that, you know, the original idea that was out there, the near field communication stuff, which if you're not familiar with that, it's basically a dongle that you could put on your existing phone, or they were going to start building the hardware into phones, into new phones, that would allow, if a retailer had a near field communications, an NFC reader could then automatically process your credit card payment using just your phone. And you know, as much as I appreciate the ingenuity and the engineering in it, I don't think that's the direction to go. I believe firmly that the way that this is going to be successful is not by forcing retailers and phone companies and consumers to all purchase some new brand spanking, probably relatively expensive piece of hardware that you will require in order to process the payment, but use the equipment that's already there. The phones are good enough already that with a little bit of monkey business, you can make it work. Walgreens with the coupons is a great example. They've got barcodes right there that can be scanned. I am a huge fan of my Starbucks app, which I never have to have my wallet with me when I go into Starbucks. Why? Because it's all on my Starbucks phone app. I flip it out, push on it, and it brings up the barcode. They scan it. I get my stuff. Not only that, but because I'm using a loyalty card, and it's not a separate card. It's right there as part of the payment. They know that I'm a gold member, and so I get free soy milk in my coffee when I order that. It's automatically adjusted right there. It's beautiful. It's the way things should work as far as I'm concerned. Now, we're hoping to get on in just a couple of weeks. I think next week, in fact, we've got lined up somebody from SWAG, S-W-A-G-G, and they're going to talk even more at length about some of these online coupons and online discount card options, and I'm working out and negotiating with them, so stay tuned. You'll want to be paying attention and particularly going to the facebook.com/TechTalkWRLR site, because if everything works out the way I'm hoping it will, we're going to have some giveaway coupons for their application and for retail, local retailers in the area, giveaway gift cards, actual real cash money. So I'll give you more details as I get it. But keep an eye there even throughout the week, especially if you're one of the podcast listeners, because I always feel badly. The podcast listeners, you guys are always time shifted about a week or so. And whenever we have deals like this, I know you get a bit of the short end of the stick. I'm not going to allow that to happen. We're going to make sure that the podcasts get released soon. But we're only going to have a couple of weeks prior to the Christmas buying season. So you will have to act quick to get in on that when it comes out. And the only way to do that is, like I said, to be paying attention to the facebook.com/TechTalkWRLR. Right before I call Jay here, I wanted to also mention that, if you were upset about America and how horrible our consumerism run rampant situation is with pepper spray and all the other great stuff happening across the country, shootings and all this as well, just to help you put it in a little bit of perspective, it's not endemic to only America. This is truly a human condition, because guess what? Indonesia doesn't have Thanksgiving, but what they do have is they've got people that like smartphones. Well, RIM released their newest BlackBerry out in Indonesia and in Jakarta, which is the capital of Indonesia. They made an announcement that they were going to have 1,000 phones that they're going to make available for whatever reason on Thursday, I believe it was, which was Thanksgiving Thursday in America, and that these phones, not only would they be available, the newest RIM BlackBerry would be available, 1,000 phones, but they would be half off if you could get there. Now, that's fantastic, except for the fact that something like 3,000 people showed up, which was a bit of an issue. They tried to organize it. They tried to keep things sane. They gave red wristbands to the first 1,000 people who were there, so that they would surely be eligible for that discount and the phone. But then as rumors began that the phone had already been sold out, people started to lose their patience. The crowd eventually burst through the security lines trying to get their hands on a new phone any way possible. And then there was, of course, going and going on. You can imagine the trampling injuries, broken bones, people knocked unconscious. Roughly 200 police officers and security guards were on hand, but dozens and dozens of people were injured in this mad rush to get, which again, I am shaking my head right now, to get a BlackBerry. Hey, if it was an iPhone, okay, I buy it, but the BlackBerry, I don't know. I'm not sure where that comes from, but I really don't know much about Jakarta. Maybe in Indonesia, the BlackBerry is the big hot thing. Apparently it is, because you had 3,000 people excited about it. Well, at any rate, let's give Jay a call here, see if I can get through to him. Now, like I said, he is, He is running around, so we'll see if we'll see how this works. If we're actually able to hunt him down and grab him with while he's supposed to be out enjoying his holiday vacation with his family. We've usually had pretty good luck. It's all down to Verizon and how good the cell connection can be. That's one of the things I always insist on when we're doing interviews here, is that we try and get a landline and avoid the whole cell phone situation. But sometimes it's unavoidable. Good morning, Mr. Garmin.
How's it going, Chief?
Hey, pretty good, pretty good. I was just explaining to listeners that we've got we're playing Verizon Lottery, as you mentioned, and the quality and the opportunity will be catch as catch can. So, but it seems pretty good so far.
Yeah, we're still within the city limits, so we got a little bit later start than we expected. So we may have some luck as I start to wander out to the boondocks. Between civilization here, we may get less fortunate.
yep, absolutely. Well, you know, late starts on Thanksgiving holiday weekends, I think, are par for the course. At least with my family, I don't believe that we've ever had actually an on time start any trip that we've ever tried to do. So you shouldn't feel too bad about that.
Well, at least you're consistent.
That is true. That is true. there's no surprises at the Kessler household. It really is, you know, every year pretty much the same thing. Hopefully you guys don't do the repeated yelling at everybody. You know, how could you not be ready yet? And screaming at the kids, get your shoes on, damn it, and all the other stuff. So if you can avoid that and actually
not yet. I think that's coming, though, because we just have the one kid right now, but the reason we're late this morning is I let my pregnant wife sleep in, which I think was the wiser move than insisting she get up and we get on the road on time. So.
you are definitely a wiser man than me. Yeah, I think that was a very, very smart move. Very smart move. I hope that she appreciated it, too.
Well, I think she did, but more importantly, I got to watch a couple of DVR episodes of Warehouse 13, so it's a win-win situation all around.
Ah, excellent, excellent. Man, you know, I that's one of the shows I have not, kept up with this season. I was watching it religiously the last couple seasons. I haven't stayed with it this season for one reason and another. Has it maintained at all, or did it go the way of Sanctuary?
I think it's improved. They've added a cast member. They've added Sean Ashmore, who played Iceman in the X-Men movies, and he's, I think it's Sean, maybe his brother, who played Jimmy Olsen on Smallville. They look exactly alike. So it's one of the Ashmore guys, but he plays the new agent, and he's very funny. His special ability is he can tell when anyone is lying, which makes for really awkwardly fun situations for everyone involved.
that would be good. That would be, you know, I'll have to catch back up on it. Now that we're in the winter break of the TV watching season, and of course now that we found out that what's the fairy tale one, Once Upon a Time, turned out to be absolutely abysmally horrible.
Here's what it is. It's not even bad. Like, if it was really bad, you could watch it ironically. Mm-hmm. It's just bland. It's bland, and it shouldn't be. The cast is really talented, but it's just trying so hard to shove as many references to the Disney versions of fairy tales into the show. I mean, it's right down to the character designs and the set. It just is very, you can tell ABC is owned by Disney.
Yep.
They are going out of their way to Disney this thing, and to the detriment, I think.
Yep. Yeah, and even as hot as the Little Red Riding Hood character was, it still just wasn't worth the time. The thing that got me was it just seemed so And I guess now you're mentioning that it's a Disney-owned thing. It makes sense to me. It's sanctimonious and self-righteousness. It just was putting it over the top for me. And having selected the lady who played Cameron in House, who was, in her character, quite sanctimonious and self-righteous, just didn't make things better.
No, it's Jennifer Morrison, who I think is a fine actress, but she's basically playing the same parts. Mm-hmm. Only with a little more action thrown in. It's not working for me. It's like, here's my acid test for any show that makes it bad or good. And this, I perfect this with Enterprise. If you could watch the last 5 minutes of a show and not feel like you've missed anything, it's not a good show. If you feel like you have caught up on every single element of the plot by catching everything from the last commercial break on, mm-hmm. it's not a good show. There's no surprises and nothing left unsaid. There's nothing left for you to figure out. They wrap it all up and hammer you home with it.
Yes.
Here's the moral, Timmy, of today's episode of Lassie. And it also tells you that not enough is going on in the previous 55 minutes. I actually joked after watching three or four episodes that if it was a 30-minute show with the same script, it would actually be pretty good.
Yeah, yeah. The couple that I saw, I can see that. Yeah, 30 minutes, you could deal with it, and it would actually kind of probably hang together a little bit better and make a little more sense, too. The show that I've been surprised at that seems to do it right, though, is Grimm. I really didn't have much expectation from that, and it doesn't take itself too seriously. It's got a good action. They're definitely related to the Brothers Grimm stories, but they're not trying quite so hard to make sure that you actually recognize and figure out all the tie-ins and things.
Well, that show's got a very good pedigree. The producer is David Greenwalt, who worked with Joss Whedon on Buffy the Vampire Slayer and Angel. And he tried to do another similar show back during the 2008 writer's strike for called Moonlight, about a vampire who was trying to do good. It just failed when the writer's strike just killed it.
Yes.
And I think he's got the right form this time. This Moonlight was too serious. This one's very not serious.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm actually kind of surprised that the network has sort of conceded that we know this is going to be a big DVR show because it's on opposite two other absolute direct competitors for the audience, which is Fringe mm-hmm. and Supernatural. So they just sort of conceded, like, we're going to put it in this Friday night death slot where nothing does well. We're going to be okay if it only does well on DVR. And what's happened is everyone DVR'd the first couple episodes, and they're like, this isn't too bad. This is... I can see where this could go somewhere.
Yep.
And it surprised me as well.
Yeah, it's funny you mentioned that, because we missed the first several episodes. I happened to catch it. It's being replayed, a few days later or something on the Sci-Fi Channel. And so I caught about 20 to 30 minutes of the pilot and actually stopped watching it because it was in the middle and said, no, you know what? I want to watch this whole thing. This is good enough. But it was being blocked on my DVR by Fringe and Supernatural, because we record those. We've got DirecTV. It can only do two at a time, and so I wound up having to go and grab them video on demand for the first several until we started switching it over to record on the Sci-Fi Channel now at 10 o'clock or something, but yeah, it's good. I definitely recommend it to people.
Yeah, it's funny you mentioned this. Most DVRs I think have the same limitation. Mine does as well. I get through my cable company, and I've had conversations with my geek-loving friends, and it's like, okay, which two do we DVR, and which one do we either watch live or just track down on demand or on the net? Like, which one? And with a lot of people I've talked to, the one they're willing to roll the dice on is Supernatural, which is getting a little long in the tooth. Like, mm-hmm. we're going to make sure we DVR Grimm and Fringe, and if we have to go find Supernatural, that's okay. We'll catch up on that, whatever. But Grimm has gotten to the point with a lot of my geek-loving friends, and I help run a sci-fi convention. I have several.
Mm-hmm.
It's displaced Supernatural in the DVR rotation.
I can buy that. I can buy that. Because as you mentioned, yeah, Supernatural's a little long on the tooth at this point. They kind of did one of those you know, hey, we're finishing, we're quitting the season, and the show's going to be completely over. And then they decide, well, you know what? Actually, we will bring it back next year. And it's done surprisingly well as far as its continuity goes, even given that they had come, you know, unexpectedly back. But it's lost a little bit. You know, I don't know how many more seasons it's got left in it before it's just not going to be worth watching at all anymore.
Yeah, the great fear amongst my Supernatural fan friends is they're going to Smallville it. They're going to run it into the ground because CW requires such low ratings to be successful that it just, they're willing to keep bringing shows back well past when they should. I mean, the premise of Smallville was Superman in high school. It started his sophomore year, and the series ran 10 seasons. It went through high school, past college, into early career. It just got ridiculous.
Now, I was never a big Smallville fan, so I didn't really pay attention to that. But some of my friends that do watch it, I heard some of the distress that they had as it continued to go and go. Although I from what I understand, they did a pretty reasonable job of wrapping it up when they finally did decide to wrap it up. That it was pretty well done.
They did. They brought back Michael Rosenbaum, who played. I mean, I watched the first four seasons, and like after the first year he was in college, I'm like, they really have no idea what they're doing here. They're just stalling for time and working in as many DC Comics sight gags and in jokes as they can, and calling it a plot.
Yeah.
And it got to the point where I had plenty of friends watching it just to make fun of it. It got into like that Mystery Science Theater level where you just watch it for how bad it was. or you just, like, the guy who got seven seasons in, it's like, I haven't missed the first seven. I can't stop now. I've got to finish it.
Yeah.
And then they get renewed for another season, and they're like, really? Another one? Man! You got to keep doing this.
Yeah, once you've invested that amount of time into it, it's tough to just walk away at that point. you know, and as much as we bemoan some of the series that you know, that ended their career too early, you know, Firefly, of course, is the archetypal example, but I would put the 4400 up in there with it, and you know, in the crime genre Life, and other ones that had, you know, one season or two seasons and really should have been continued. It may, you know, in a lot of cases, I think it may just have been the best thing all the way around, you know, for the plot, for the fans, for everybody, is that you have this beloved one season glorious run, and as sad as it was, at least you had that, and you didn't have to watch it just, you know, pale and fade away.
That's true. The question I always ask my diehard Serenity Firefly friends is, would you have rather had three more seasons of Firefly and it maybe gotten bad and never had the movie Serenity? Or were you okay with the 13 episodes we got and then the really great movie at the end, which would not have happened if the thing made it to syndication?
Yep.
So that to me is the real question. It's like, well, I don't know, there's the volume, and then the movie Serenity is really, really good. So, you know, he would not have gotten life to do that if they'd gotten the syndication. So it's a tough choice. I do think Serenity and Firefly are great because that's all we have of them. They never got a chance to get that.
Yep. Yep. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, so, you know, it's like I said, one of those things. I don't know that there's going to ever be any good answer to that. Now, my wife actually got into Firefly after watching Serenity, so it was kind of an interesting flip, is that she saw Serenity. It was such a good movie that she didn't realize until we were maybe three-quarters of the way through the movie, and I was like, oh, yeah, I remember when this happened in the episode, you know, some episode, and she's like, what? This was a TV show. It's like, oh, honey, we've got things to do. I've got our next couple months planned out for us.
DVD box set we need right now.
Exactly. Exactly. So, Jay, I won't try to keep you on too much longer. I trust that you had a good Thanksgiving. You said it was free of weapon-grade capsaicin, so that's good. If you do your shopping online, you can avoid the pepper spray maniacs and so on. Now, we were talking about some other types of elements, I believe, in our last Geek Trivia questionnaire.
Yeah, I asked who was the famous physicist who mistakenly thought he discovered element 94, which we call plutonium, well before he actually did. And why is it ironic that this was the guy that was mistaken? Plutonium was truly discovered legitimately in 1940 by Glenn Seaborg, a man that Seaborgium is named after, and rightfully so. He is probably the greatest elemental physicist of all time. But the one man that could give him a run for his money would be Enrico Fermi, the guy that invented fission. And Fermi thought he had discovered element 94 in 1934 in Italy, and he named his discovery Hesperium, which was based on an older and romanticized description of Italy called Hesperia. And the problem was he thought he discovered it chemically by reducing some elements. He thought element 94. What he found actually was a compound of barium and krypton, which I think can turn Superman evil, but it's not plutonium. and he didn't discover his mistake, or no one discovered his mistake, until Seaborg, 6 years later, using some of the neutron bombardment techniques that Fermi himself invented, actually distills element 94. And the reason he named it plutonium is the preceding element was uranium, and they were basically going down the line of planets. So don't feel too bad for Fermi. He's got the U.S. Atomic Energy Commission's Medal of Honor is named after him. Three different labs, including the one in your neighborhood, Fermilab, is named after him. And element 100 is named Fermium. So Fermi recovered from his mistake pretty well. and I don't think there's any begrudgment between the two. Although Fermi did not get the element named after him in his life, little bonus trivia, Glenn Seaborg is the only person to have an element named after him during his lifetime.
Oh.
And I believe Seaborgium is element 106.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So he's the only guy who was still alive when an element was named in his honor. So.
Wow. That is interesting. Yeah, because you don't expect that. And the other thing that I found interesting, too, is you mentioned, just as an aside, that a number of the elements, or at least a couple, anyways, were named after the newly discovered planets. And so you had uranium after Uranus, and neptunium after Neptune, and plutonium after Pluto. I don't know. I've heard all of those elements mentioned so many times, and it never connected it in my head that those were related to the planets.
Yes. Well, that was sort of the theme I think uranium was just named after Uranus, obviously, because he was sort of the creator of the universe, and this was the first like major fissile element and so on and so forth. So they thought it was like the keystone element, and then they just sort of went with the planetary theme after that until they ran out of planets. And then they got creative, and that's where you start getting into things like americium and francium and that's einsteinium and that sort of thing. And most of them do not exist outside particle accelerators because in their most base isotopes, they have extremely brief or unstable half-lives. So they don't stick around. Ironically, we again bonus trivia. We created plutonium at the Caltech particle accelerator at the neutron lab first. It was the first time any human beings actually laid their eyes on plutonium and interacted with it. But after we realized it existed, we then later found it in nature because the isotope plutonium 244 is got a half-life just long enough for it still to have some traces around in nature. So it was literally rare enough that it's considered a primordial element, but we had to synthesize it first before we knew to look for it, which is really unusual.
Wow. Yeah, because once you get past that, almost all of them they're almost all synthetic after a certain point, just because of that, the half-life is short enough that they don't last long enough for them to be seen. Some of them have the half-life so short they can barely be detected even when they're being created.
Yes. Well, and actually, if you talk to a particle physicist or a chemist, and you use the phrase synthetic element, they all get really touchy because there's practically synthetic, meaning the only place we're ever likely to find something is in a particle accelerator. But we don't know every possible isotope of the elements, and we also haven't looked real hard in outer space or in nebulae or in cosmic reactions or in deep cores of asteroids. So it's there can be things that are called synthetic as sort of shorthand in that they really can't possibly exist anywhere except the particle accelerator. And there's stuff that's called synthetic that it could exist and probably does exist somewhere, but it's so unlikely we're ever going to find it in any measurable quantity, we just go ahead and call it synthetic.
Yep.
But depending on how nitpicky you are, and scientists are nitpicky by definition, they get real touchy with those terms.
Yep. Well, you know, those particle physicists, they get a little touchy about just about everything, I think.
Yeah. I mean, they're I deal with Trekkies and Lord of the Rings fans, and so particle physicists are a walk in the park compared to those lunatics, which I call friends. But, you know, you ask them about Klingon ridged foreheads, you're going to get something equivalent to 7 doctoral treatises, and they're going to do it for free.
Mm-hmm.
At least particle physicists way around and make some sort of money off that kind of thing.
Yes.
So, you know, there's crazy and then there's crazy.
Well, hey, speaking of crazy, what should some of the crazy listeners that we've got, Customer Jones in particular, what should they be spinning cycles on this next week?
Well, we're a day past it, but I'm still going to ask it because we're in prime shopping season. Yesterday was Black Friday, which is today generally described as the day for Thanksgiving shopping season.
Mm-hmm.
What U.S. City's police department use the phrase first to describe the day after Thanksgiving? What U.S. Municipal Police Department first called the day after Thanksgiving Black Friday, and why? And the extra hint is it had very little to do with shopping.
Oh, excellent. Excellent. Man, no, that's a great question. That is a great question. And of course, this Black Friday was particularly black, as I discussed a little bit earlier on the show, with the websites down and pepper spraying people and a couple of people being shot, and then huge BlackBerry riots in Indonesia. I mean, it was a bit of a crazy one. Well, fantastic. I'm going to remind people they can find the Geek Trivia questions at facebook.com/techtalkwrlr. But there's a lot more stuff that Jay does, which is available at jgarman.net as well.
Absolutely. I will eventually update that website again soon, I promise.
It's one of those things. I know. With a couple of websites of my own, man, getting around to bringing it up to snuff is not as easy as it may sound to people out there. That's why things like WordPress are so wonderful, because it's a little bit quicker. But yeah, when you try to keep things on top of things, it can, especially around the holiday season, you can lose traction quickly. Well, Jay, I'm going to let you run. Shouts out to your family for putting up with the Tech Talk show as you're driving on your way to grandmother's house or wherever it may be, and we'll look forward to catching up with you next week.
All right, take it easy, buddy, and a happy holiday to you and yours.
All right, thanks a lot, Jay. Take care. Drive safe.
Bye.
JGarman.net. Go check it out. What a great guy. Love having him on. Love that he's a regular on the show. And what a wealth of information. And again, great question. Why and where was Black Friday, the name, first introduced? Hey, we're going to be back at you in just a minute. I got a couple of notes and sponsor messages and so on to catch up on before we come back. When we come back, we're going to be doing Cool Sites of the Week, and then your podcast-only song of the week as well. So don't turn away or tune off. We will be right back at you.
WRLR, 98.3 FM.
BEST, bringing everyone's strengths together, is a not-for-profit networking coalition whose goal is to positively impact Round Lake area youth and families. BEST offers community empowerment grants designed as mini-grants for community groups, student groups, not-for-profit organizations, and/or individuals. The website is www.rlabest.org. Best meetings are held the second Thursday of each month starting at 8:30 a.m. at the Round Lake Beach Cultural and Civic Center.
Snap Fitness Clubs of Round Lake are committed to providing a positive, clean, and safe environment for their health fitness members. Both Round Lake facilities offer 24-hour access 7 days per week. The phone number is 847-740-SNAP. The website is roundlakeill@snapfitness.com. Snap Fitness offers two Round Lake locations, one on Route 120 just east of Cedar Lake Road, and the second at Wilson Road by the Valley Lakes Water Tower.
Hello, I'm Rick Haggerty, proudly presenting something old and exciting. We're going back to the days when there were no televisions, no computers, and no iPods. The Home Entertainment Center was a large wooden box that delivered nothing but sound. Yet, it produced pictures in stunning color, high definition, and three dimensions, because the images were in your mind. Let's travel back in time to enjoy the comedies, the dramas, and adventures while watching history unfold and examine the fabric of America in that golden age of radio. Now tune in your imagination and turn that dial to your favorite shows on Radio Roots, right here on 98.3 FM, WRLR, LP, Round Lake Heights, Illinois, every Tuesday morning from 9 until noon.
All those smiling, happy faces. Then I turn the TV off. Back to reality. Faces here are not so happy after the spill. People of the Gulf are good at bouncing back, but we can all use some help from time to time. If you're experiencing increased anxiety, worry, or anger, there is help. Call 800-985-5990 or text TALK WITH US to 66746. It's confidential. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council. Message and data rates may apply.
All right, we are back. And man, before I forget, or before we run out of time, of course, we got to have a little bit of yes, cool sights of the week. And I got a handful of them for you this week. Let's see here what we got going on. Man, you know, there's always so many to choose from. There's so many great ones. I'm trying to find ones that you might actually make use of here this week. Now, I talked about a lot of the stuff about the shopping online and things, and I'll try to put some of those links up there for you so that you can find them as well, because those are pretty easy to use and nice if you're carrying around your mobile phone. But right on the top of that, now, this is something that happens to me all the time, is I'm out, I'm about, I've got things to do, but I'm talking to people, and all of a sudden I realize, you know, I really want to be able to talk to this person again, but gosh darn it, I forgot my business cards in my wallet or at home or in my laptop case or somewhere where I don't have it. But they've got their cell phone. And so have you ever had to do that thing where you're like, okay, type in my name. Or you know, I'm going to call you and then you'll have my number and then I'll send you my email. But it's such a pain, isn't it? Well, there's a great new website. It's called contexts.com, and it's contexts.com. Now, what this allows you to do is you create a user account. I've got one myself, Tech Talk, in there. And what you can do is you can text the name of a person that they've set up, their user account name, to 50500. And when they do that, they're going to get a text right back with all of the information that you've chosen to put in there, whether it's your name, your title, your business address, your phone numbers, and all that good stuff. So it's right there. It's in a text to them. They can bring it. You don't have to remember your business cards all the time. Now you can just do that. You can put this up. In fact, when I love to do it, you put it up while you're giving a presentation. It's on the screen behind you, and you can say, look, if you want to connect with me later, text this name to 50500. Now, they're in beta, so be careful. I don't know if it will last forever or not, but for the meanwhile, as it's working, it is pretty darn cool. And if you are trying to check it out, you can take a look again at contexts.com, contexts.com. Very cool stuff. Maybe you're looking for some things to do this holiday weekend. You're hanging out with the family and trying to have some excuses maybe to get away from the family for a few minutes. Well, if you're doing that, there's some really neat things that you can find. I've got one for you and one for the kids, and then we'll go on to our podcast, Holy Song of the Week. The one for you here, this is cool. I love this. This is really neat stuff. Daniel Russell he's an anthropologist of search, is what he calls himself. The soi disant anthropologist of search. Now, he works at Google, and so he's got some search chops behind him. And what he's done is he's created a Blogspot site called Search Research. Search Research, the number 1.blogspot.com. Go take a look at it. What it does is he'll pull up something, some images or some information that maybe a little difficult to find the answer to. And when he does, he's going to say, can you tell me something about this? And you'll have to actually think about how and what types of searches you're going to have to use in order to discover the answer to the questions that he's asking. So take a look at it. Here's one from last Wednesday. Is Wednesday search challenge, what's that flower? And he's got a picture of this beautiful purple flower on it that's got a star shape and things, and is about 3 foot high. And he asks you, he says, can you figure out what the Latin and common names of this flower are? Now, obviously, it's an image, so it's tough to get through that, but you spend some time. And then the great thing, of course, is if you can't figure it out, either way, he, of course, answers not only the specific answer, but gives you a great explanation of why and how the type of search that he would suggest using is the best one to use. So good stuff. Now, while you're doing that, of course, the kids have to have something to do, right? Well, here's the place to go. TwistyNoodle.com. Burn a little ink this holiday and let them print out coloring pages. A really, really comprehensive, just a huge, huge number of coloring pages. You could make Christmas coloring pages, Thanksgiving coloring pages, Halloween pages, things for writing and drawing, sign language coloring pages so they can learn sign language at the same time they're doing their letters. It's great for schools, great for teachers, but you know what? It's also great for mom and dad when they need just a little bit of quiet time with the youngsters around. TwistyNoodle.com. You can check that out. Another great, cool site of the week. And I'm going to end us now with our podcast-only music. I'm going to get to in just a moment here. I want to thank you, though, for listening yet again this week. We had a great week this week. Great Thanksgiving. I hope everyone is safe in whatever travels that you're doing, and we'll wish safe travels for Dave Sparky Saganaki, who will hopefully be coming back at us next week. And I'm going to leave you this week with let's listen to the drumming song. It's by Florence and the Machine off of the album Lungs. Just a nice upbeat tune to get you moving on your way. Thanks again for listening. Check us out, facebook.com/techtalkwrlr or techtalk.wrlr.fm. And thanks again. Have a great week.